are relatives who are disqualified to testify. This week's parasha deals with all of the relatives who one is not allowed to marry. Okay, all of the chayve, the arayos, the chayve krasis. There's a parallel halacha. Basically, anyone who you're not allowed to marry and their equivalent, their spouse, you are not allowed to testify. If you are called, summons to court, and you know testimony, you are not allowed to testify for a koroi, for a relative. There are two categories of people who are not allowed to testify. Number one, a person who is postulatus because he's not a trustworthy person. Okay, character, he's a character, right? He is a character. He has been proven to be a ganof, a gazlan. He does avera, he's not shem shabbos. V'chulu. And then there are people who are fine Jews. They're fine people. It's just that they are related to the person who needs them to testify. How do we know this? It says in the pasuk lo yumsa. Even though, this expression doesn't say anything about testimony, but it deals with the relatives. But it's a parallel look. A lot of the definition of a relative, more or less, is derived from this week's parasha. Who is called a relative? And it says in the end of Chumash Devarim, lo yumsu avos al banim uvanim lo yumsu al avos. Chazal say, don't take the pasuk literally. If a child does an avera, so we'll kill the parent, because you didn't raise your children, you let your child do such a terrible thing, you're guilty, we'll kill you instead. That cannot be the pshat in the pasuk, because it says elsewhere, ish b'chetoy yumas. There is no such thing as substitution in regard to the death penalty. No such thing. You cannot appoint a shaliach to die in your place. Ish bechetoy yumas. So what then does it mean in the pasuk lo yumsu avos al banim? The Gemara interprets this pasuk to mean a parent may not testify in court that my child has committed a crime for which he deserves to die, or a child's testimony in court is not accepted to testify that his father has done an avera. That's what the pasuk, the simple interpretation of the pasuk.
It's deal with money. Yes. Both ways, they can't defend and they can't practice.
So let's I want to talk about that. So here's, that's exactly what the crux of this. I want to talk about that right now. So the pasuk over here, the entire source that a parent, a relative, may not testify for a relative is, well, in this case, is where it leads to a detriment. It leads to their death. It leads to causing them harm. And we know there's one exception, of course, and that has been Sarah Moira.
Right.
That's the notable exception, but let's put that aside. This is how the Gemara understands the understanding of the Gemara. Now, there's a very strange Gemara. Not a strange Gemara. It's a Gemara which requires a lot of study. I just want to throw this out. And a lot is based upon this. But what's strange is the example the Gemara gives about testifying for a relative. The Gemara's example is Moshe v'Aaron. A lot of us don't read the Gemara. We read it secondhand. But if you read the Gemara says something very shocking. That Moshe and Aaron are not eligible to testify for their father-in-law. Now, from all of the examples of relatives that you can give, if someone would ask you, give me an example of not being allowed to testify for a relative. So the average person, I can't testify for my father. I can't testify for my son. I can't testify for my brother, my sister. But that's not the example the Gemara gives. The example the Gemara gives is that Moshe v'Aaron, why we put them, they are not permitted to testify for their father-in-laws. Who was Moshe's father-in-law? Yisrael. Who was Aaron's father-in-law? Aminadav. And Aaron married the sister of Nachshon. And Nachshon is Nachshon ben Aminadav. So he's not allowed to testify for his father-in-law. Why did Chazal give that as an example? Maybe you'll answer that it's not a blood relative. Even that you're not allowed to testify. Maybe that's the reason that it goes down to say you can't go testify for a brother, a sister, for a father, your six close relatives. Let's go one notch above that. Even your father-in-law, even he's not your blood relative, you happen to have married his daughter, so what? But he's already the next generation. How close is a person really with his father-in-law? You're not all that close. What? Okay. Ooh, we're going into the world of the Shviga.
You knew that was coming.
Okay. So even maybe that's what the Gemara means. Now, what's interesting, though, he does cite over here, I'm recording everything is from our Dvorkis, in this volume on the Shulchan Aruch, he does say something very interesting, is that if you look very carefully in the Rishonim of that Gemara is suspect. There are many Girsois, different Girsois in the Gemara. Not every Girsa in the Gemara, in the manuscripts, have and Moshe and Aaron may not testify for their father-in-laws, their respective father-in-laws, but the Gemara just says they may not testify for each other. Okay, so there's another, I think that's the popular way you read it secondhand. When you hear this Gemara side, they say that even Moshe v'Aaron, who is there in this world that is more honest than Moshe v'Aaron? They cannot testify one against the other. Here's the question. There are many, many different issues. A very, very big topic of discussion. The Iker HaDin, we do not allow them to testify. Now, the Pasuk talks about death. Now, death is obviously you're causing another person the ultimate harm. What about when it comes to Dini Mimonis? Let's discuss the case of Dini Mimonis.
Well, the Gemara
Bakas
discusses
that. Right. So, the Gemara above Basra. Right. Let's say you have a brother who wants to testify for another brother, and he wants to testify that for his benefit, that he should be awarded money. So it's obvious, you negate it over. He's your brother, you love him. You're not allowed to testify. But
no,
what about
alibi? There's no, can't testify as an alibi?
Something indirect? No, you're not allowed to. No. Anything which will ultimately lead to his benefit, even if it's indirect, is not accepted.
But even an in-law, because he's shtoka gufo and that kind of stuff.
Right, exactly. Right, all of the like, mother-in-law is one of the arayos. That's why a father-in-law you may not testify. That's why we learned that it's connected to the six parasha. All of the chavav arayos. But let's go further. Now this is something very interesting. What now? The Rambam has a very unique lashon. The Rambam writes that to testify for a relative is 100%, here it is, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot writes very, very unique words. V'zeh gezeros ha-kosov ein lo tam bishum ponim. It's a quote. It's a very, very extreme statement for the Rambam to say. Because the Rambam in Sefer HaMadah, and the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, he loves to tell you reasons for many mitzvahs. Rambam doesn't hold back. The Rambam has a time for a mitzvah, he'll give you a time. The Rambam is very unique in all the writings of the Rambam. For the Rambam to write such sharp words, to testify for a relative is forbidden, and it doesn't make any sense. If a person is a trustworthy person, look at every situation. Every situation is different. Why not? Why can't a brother come and testify? Especially, let's say he's coming to testify, let's say it's for his detriment. Let's say when it comes to money. What do I have to lose? Why should I lie? I'm saying the truth. Why should you not? There are many situations where you can construct where you should be believed. The Rambam says, V'zeh, Gezeros HaKosov Ein Lo Tam Bishum Ponim. Unbelievable. But Paraduma, the Rambam doesn't say this. Okay? The Paraduma, the Choyk, Amarti Echkoma Vir Choyka Mimeni. No, Paraduma is a time. We just don't understand what the time is. But when it comes to testify for your relative, Ein Lo shum tam bishum ponim, and he gives examples. The question is: let's say you want to go testify, and then the chinuch. What's very interesting, he does give reasons. This is like everyone is in the hapechu. The sefer hachinuch. I'm not a buck in sefer hachinuch. We once tried to learn it here once upon a time a little bit. Maybe we should want to go back and we'll try it again one day. But the sefer hachinuch, he likes to give reasons. He's a big fan of. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The other way around. The Sefer HaChinuch is the very beginning of not giving reasons. That's what he writes over here. The Chinuch generally does not like to give. He just says this is the mitzvah. In regard to testimony, all of a sudden he breaks tradition, his tradition, and he starts giving reasons. And he says, it goes without saying, you can't testify for your brother if it's to your brother's benefit. But even if it's to your brother's detriment, and there's no reason in the world why you would lie, and you're a good, honest, standing man in society, we don't accept your testimony. Why not? He gives two reasons. Number one, the slippery slope. I call it the slippery slope syndrome. Once Beis Din will allow the testimony of a relative to be accepted in this circumstance, because in this circumstance, clearly there's no reason why the brother would lie. It's not to the brother's own benefit. Tomorrow, they'll start taking his testimony when it is to his benefit. How are you going to be mechalik? Every case is so delicate. How do you know to be mechalik when it's to your benefit, when it's not to your benefit? So therefore, the Torah says, loy plug. The second reason he puts on his psychologist hat, and he says, maybe deep down inside, like he was reading a philosophy class in Freud, maybe deep down inside, the brother really hates his brother. He really hates him. Because 35 years ago, he didn't give him a lollipop. And deep down inside, the hatred is simmering. It's simmering. And now he'll come to Beis Din. He'll come to Beis Din. He'll testify to cause his brother deep harm subconsciously. Unbelievable. I'm not a psychologist. Delving down into the deep conscious, the deep human condition. You don't know what's going on in a person's mind. And therefore, the Torah says, loy plo, half of a fella. Okay? The chinuch, who b'derech klal, never gives a reason. All of a sudden, today, he likes to give reasons. But let's say not Yerusha, other case, other example. There's something going on in their minds. It's unbelievable. The chinuch who generally doesn't give reasons, all of a sudden now is coming to give reasons. The Rambam, who loves to give reasons, all of a sudden he makes an extreme statement that is one of a kind. There's no time, gezeres akasa, choyk, you don't even go there. This l'choyra is a nafkamina between what the Rambam, why the Rambam and the Chinuch are going to these extremes. And this is what the beauty of what Dvorkis does here. He cites a levush, he cites a whole big collection, a long collection of achroinim, and he says shocking things here. And he says as follows, Eino chinami, relatives are loyum su ovoy salbonim, forget it. They're not accepted as testimony. However, in Beis Din, you know, you learn enough Gemara, you know that not every psak of Beis Din is decided based upon testimony. Learn Bava Basra, there's something called an umdina. What's an umdina? An evaluation. There's a dilemma. Beis Din has a dilemma. And Beis Din, there's no testimony, nishtahi nishtaher. Beis Din has a right to look at circumstantial evidence and make an evaluation and say, this is the halach, there's an umdina. I don't have all examples at this moment in time. There's an umdina. In the mail, we're going to go with the umdina and we're going to demand you have to give up money, give it to the so-and-so. We don't have testimony. There's nothing clear. This is something called an umdana. What exactly is an umdana? I don't have an exact translation, but basically it's circumstantial evidence. It's not testimony. If we were to have two witnesses that would come and contradict the umdana, umdana goes out the window. We take the testimony of the witnesses. But let us say there is no testimony and there's money that's mutal and sophic. We don't just say, oh, Beis Din will be moitzi mamayin, will extract money from one party based upon circumstantial evidence. There's another principle in the Gemara called anan sahade. Beis Din says, we testify. In other words, it's the human condition. A person would not do such a thing. a person would not be meis pan of a chutzpah to deny a toiva. We don't. The Takhtchul Narach says that we don't apply anymore. That doesn't apply anymore. But let's say you come to court and you say you owe me $1,000, and I say to you, I owe you nothing, zero. So what is the halacha? You win. Why? Anan sahade lo yoyis adam loymar. A person, if you did me a toiva and gave me $1,000, no, you would not have the chutzpah to say to the guy's face, you did not do me a toiva. Cannot look in his eye. And if this guy looks in his eye and says, I owe you nothing, then we believe you. Now, by the way, we don't say that anymore, Bizman Hazeh. Right. By Bizman Hazeh, Gemara says, right. Anah, we say Anayadi. What about Moid de Bemixas? You only lend me $500. Oh, okay, there's a lot of psychology. So Chazal work with psychology. Right. Yeah. Here's an incredible dilemma, Machloikis Apois. This is shocking to me. I never heard such things before. Moshe v'Aaron. They know testimony. They're relatives. Well, one knows, Moshe knows about Aaron things. And there are no witnesses. We need kosher witnesses. There are none. All we got is a Moshe, who's a relative to Aaron. Is Moshe obligated, or should he come into court and testify? To testify. As an aid, Bezin will accept the testimony and just say, excellent, we accept your testimony, you're a good, honest man. It cannot be Eidos Deraisa, but your testimony, Moshe Rabbeinu, for your brother Aaron, is going to be accepted in a court, a Jewish court of law, no less than Anan Sahade and Umdina. Or do we say, if the Torah says, Lo Yumsu Avos Albanim, Banim Lo Yumsu Avos, Moshe Rabbeinu, don't you dare walk into this court. We don't want to hear from you. Obviously, not needing aid, because you're not going to be an aid, but we don't even want to hear from you a word of testimony that it should be considered Anan Sahadi. And this goes even further. There's a halacha in the Torah that if you know testimony, Im lo yagid v'nosa avaynoi. If someone makes you swear, withhold. There's an avera, it can be chayv a shavua. If a person is a relative to his friend, are you and your so your testimony is garnished, zero. But you have testimony. Are you still obligated to come to court and testify as an apostle? Because your testimony, although it's not going to make a difference in the bottom line, but it shakes up the bezdin.
Exactly.
It shakes up the whole court. If Moshe Rabbeinu walks into court and says, this guy's a murderer, it's a different investigation. They're not going to kill him based upon Moshe Rabbeinu, but boy, are they going to go send out, put up signs in the street to go find people who did see testimony. It's a whole different ballgame. So what do you do? Is there, and this is the rise in lo yagid v'nosa avoinoi, when you're an eighth pasuk. This is a machloikis achroinim. It's a major machloikis achroinim. The levush says you mechuyif to testify. And he writes it out, just because you're pasul eidos, so what? You have an obligation to come to court and testify. Bezdin has the obligation to hear your testimony because it's no worse than an ansadi. It's no worse than an umdina. You have this obligation. And yet, many other poskim strongly disagree. The Mordechai says, chase the guy out of town. If you're a relative, don't even walk into court. Don't even go near the bezdin. We don't want to know from your honesty. Torah disqualifies you. L'cha'oira, this is the machloikis, the chinuch. No one makes this connection, but l'cha'oira, that's the connection. The Rambam, that goes on to say, a karoif, a choik v'lo yavar. Get this guy out of town. Choik v'lo yavar. We don't want to know from you. There's no landis. L'cha'oira holds, your apostle Edus, don't do us any favors of coming to establish umdino anan sade. Koroiv, that's it, you're out. You're out of the game. The chinuch, doesn't you know the guy's a good guy? We warn him. We should accept him. If we have a reason why he's good, why there's no reason why he would lie, he has to put on his psychologist hat. The chinuch. Oh, maybe 100 years ago they got into a fight and this rivalry is there. Come on. You're going to go blame your kindergarten teacher for your whole life? The reason why you didn't succeed?
But anyone can have an ulterior motive. Why is it?
Exactly, that's what the chinuch says. And therefore, in this case, we would accept. Tomorrow we shouldn't. We're going to get confused. The chinuch, he mamash struggles. He's struggling so hard to understand why, when. The chinuch basically seems to say you're good. Your testimony is really good. It's gezeres hakosov, but it's a good testimony, and therefore, we want to hear it. We're not going to act upon it. Right. We're not allowed to act upon it. But Bezin has a right. They guess it's a license.
They contradict. Bezin has to pursue the truth.
That's right, exactly. But they can't accept the testimony as a din of edus. But circumstantial evidence does enter the court. And the testimony.
Two witnesses say that this guy was in a certain place, and his brother said he was with me. He wasn't there. So what do you do?
So if we have two, if you have two witnesses, then we have no choice but to totally ignore the
right.
testimony.
Even
but it has an effect on Bezdin. And also, he writes here: if the brother is saying he was with me at this time, you know, those two witnesses may have a change of heart. You know, maybe we shouldn't lie, or maybe. Maybe were we really there? Maybe we're getting confused. If someone who is postula edus testifies, it shakes up the court.
What about a woman, a guy, a cotton?
Oh, so he come to split hairs now. So when it comes to a person's mamish, a gambler, a ganof, that is totally out. He has nothing to talk about that. What you're saying is very, very good. We're dealing over here.
You can believe them.
No, but a woman is possessed. Is be'etzem. A woman be'etzem is postulated. I know you don't want to hear. People won't hear this thing this day and age. But a woman al pishnai mishloisha edim yakum underhu anoshim. It's a gzeres hakosov. A woman, there's a more of a fundamental flaw in her testimony.
But then emun bisurin. You see that a woman.
That's a different category. That's a different category. An eved, a woman. An Eved, it appears that there is a much deeper fundamental disqualification, which L'chaire would throw him out entirely, even out of the category of circumstantial evidence. I don't know. I really don't know. You're saying very good. You have to take them. But this is a very, I never heard this before, that when it comes to Eidos, a Koroi is apostle. You're a good, honest man. Moshe V'Aaron, the Gemara says, no one greater than them. You're a relative. What does that mean? It means don't come anywhere within 100 miles of the best thing. Not even if it's circumstantial. Gezeres HaKosov. That's what the Rambam is saying. Gezeres HaKosov. Ein losh tam b'shum panim. Or no. You can look into the reasons. When you look into the reasons, okay, we can't accept you, but really you're a good person. You're a good person, so come and tell us, and we'll use what you say. I'll carry weight in the proper balanced form based upon the other rules of Shulchan Aruch. It's a major machlekes. It's a very fundamental. You say this thing, the din of Karoiv, and this week's parsha, the different relatives, and how it applies to Dinei Eidos. Okay, we'll stop over.